Von Meilen und Zeilen. Abenteuer direkt aufs Ohr. Der Podcast des Delius Glasing Verlags mit Tim Kruse.
Einige von euch haben bestimmt schon mal gesehen, dass man jetzt bei Spotify kommentieren kann. Ich würde mich wahnsinnig freuen, hier ein bisschen Feedback von euch zu bekommen. Was können wir besser machen? Was gefällt euch? Was fehlt euch? Und so weiter. Wer auf einer anderen Plattform hört, kann uns gerne eine Mail schreiben an podcast@delius-glasing.de. Heute fangen wir mit einem Zitat an. Auf See habe ich gelernt, wie wenig ein Mensch braucht, nicht wie viel. Und genau deshalb möchten so viele von uns und von euch da draußen auf See. Aber wie geht das? Ohne Boot, ohne viel Geld, einfach lostrampen? Warum nicht? Schreibt Suzanne van der Faken in Salz auf der Haut. Und weil Suzanne Holländerin ist, machen wir diesen Podcast mal wieder auf Englisch. Suzanne, thank you so much for being here and for your wonderful book.
Thank you. It's great to be here.
Salz auf der Haut in German. What's it called in Dutch?
Good question. My German is not so good for a Dutch person, but I think it's called Salz auf der Haut.
Oh, it's the same. Okay. So, and is it also translated into English?
No, it's not. So the book Salz auf meiner Haut is a translation from the book Ocean Nomad, but it's an updated and more evolved edition.
Okay. And nowadays, you know, with AI and all these tools we have, is a translation made by a real translator or is it now like an AI tool that translates?
Well, good question. I think it was Delius Glasing who they did the translation.
So I have to ask them.
Yeah, it's interesting for me because I can sort of read German and I understand a little bit. But mm-hmm. It's hard for me to understand basically my own book now.
Yeah. Well, it must be so good to have a book in an international language. But isn't that that's such a success, isn't it?
It's very cool and very interesting as well. And it's such a beautiful, they made such a beautiful book out of it as well.
Yeah, they did.
Previous book, Ocean Nomad, I self-published it in 2017. And well, now we are, 7 years later and here's a new fresh edition. I updated everything and in a different language.
Salz auf der Haut starts with a chapter called Why Sailing? So what's the answer? And I know this is a very difficult question and it's very philosophical, but why sailing?
Well, initially for me, it started with a deep curiosity for life at sea. And to explore more, I was already doing all sorts of ocean sports, surfing, kitesurfing, diving, freediving. So mm-hmm. I just had to move to the sea. And then I got into sailing, having no idea about it. I didn't grow up sailing or didn't really know anything about the sailing mm-hmm. world. It was a curiosity to get an even deeper connection with nature, explore more remote places and experience what it's like to live on a sailing boat.
Yeah. So now, a couple of years later, you have got about 40,000 sea miles behind you. You've crossed, I think, 5 oceans.
Yeah.
And when you answer this question now, why do we still go out there? What is it? And I find it so hard to answer. It is something very deep, very transforming. What is it?
Yeah, for me, one of the things I find most exciting is with the sailboat, you can reach places you cannot reach often in any other way. And I find this very special. Also, you arrive and go to places in a very slow way. So, mm-hmm. You're very mindful and aware about the distances you're making. And you're out there all the time. You're outside in the nature. You live with limited resources.
Absolutely. Yeah.
You don't need so much. And I think it's just a very exciting and healthy place to be. And not only the sailing, but also everything around it. Like you arrive in a new place, you get to explore small islands, remote coastal towns and below the surface as well, which is also a very exciting element in relation to sailing, right?
Absolutely. One of your first planned sail trips was on the Canaries and you had a boat, you had a skipper, you had everything. And then you decided, no, you're not taking it. Something was wrong. What was it?
That's a long time ago now. That was a combination of well, many little different things. But at the time, I was pretty naive. I didn't really have an idea, much idea about sailing, but I had this dream to sail across the Atlantic Ocean. I figured if I can sail across the Atlantic and I still like it, then I continue chasing my dream to sail more and become a captain and maybe sail around the world one day. Yeah, so I found this boat on the internet. It sounded amazing. It sounded too good to be true. And yeah, that's one piece of advice. If it sounds too good to be true, it probably is. It was a combination of many different things, but it was mainly my intuition telling me something was off. And especially when you're going to sail an ocean, there's no way back. So you have to be very, very sure and happy with the boat you're jumping on. It has to be good and feel good safety-wise. And you have to be very happy with the captain as well, because they are in command. And it was my big dream. But at the end, I did decide to leave that boat. And I was very happy I did. And yeah, kind of put my dream on hold. But didn't give up on that one. And I continued looking for another boat.
That's good. It's courageous to do that, seriously, because you had this big dream. And I know myself, I had this big dream too. And I used to live on a boat in the Mediterranean, and I met a skipper who asked me if I want to join him crossing the Atlantic because he needed a crew member. And I didn't like him. And I didn't like his companions either. And I still went. And it was a terrible trip. And I admire your courage to say, nope, I'm not going, because I didn't have the courage.
Yeah, it's a tough thing because it's a long ride, huh? It's a couple of weeks at sea.
Yeah.
And even though you really want to reach the other side and experience this thing, at the end, it's the people who make the trip or can break the trip.
Right.
So yeah, this is very important, as well as the safety aspect.
Yeah,
because anyone can just sail across the Atlantic, basically.
True.
So you got to be mindful what you get yourself into.
Yeah. You know, for me as a guy, it's always been easy to go on the adventures. I'm not afraid. You know, when I talk to people, and very often they say, yeah, it's easy for you because you're a guy. So many women would do much more like my adventures, but they say, look, we're vulnerable. How do you get along with that fact?
Yeah, it's true. It's something we have to bear in mind as women. When it comes to sailing and sailing on other people's boats, for example, I would never go on a boat just with one captain that I don't know. You want to be on a boat that you can also manage by yourself in general. I think this is also counts for men. Because if something happens with the skipper, right? And maybe there's someone else on board, but they don't know how to sail. You want to be able to get to shore. You want to be extra mindful about the things and extra careful. But that said, I never really had any bad experience. Yeah, you kind of want to stay ahead of it and don't put yourself in situations where you cannot escape. Because especially when it comes to sailing, once you're out there, you cannot just walk away and go on the land.
Yeah, that's true. Also, as a guy, you know, I grew up with two brothers and we were taught, be wild, try things, be courageous, you know, do your thing. And I know that, especially when we were younger, girls were rather taught, be careful, don't be too loud, don't follow your way, rather go with the stream. And you don't do all these things. How come?
Yeah, well, I'm fortunate to have grown up quite liberal. As a kid, I was just always playing outside, making treasure hunts for the neighboring kids.
That's cool.
With my parents, we always went camping, mostly in France, and go for walks and hikes and be out there in the nature. So I'm very happy and fortunate that I grew up like that. And I guess that ignited also a little bit my curiosity to just explore more and be outside. And it just makes me feel so good to do stuff outside, whatever it is.
That's good.
And of course, my parents, they have been worried, especially when it comes to me jumping on sailboats with strangers, which I've done a lot, because they also don't have any idea about sailing. I took my parents sailing for the first time a couple of years ago now in the Netherlands. They never sailed before, so they didn't have any idea about that world or what it means. And if you don't share with them, hey, mom, dad, I'm going to sail across the Atlantic with a bunch of strangers, they do get worried. But also these days, luckily, we have good communication equipment. And yeah, I always still let my parents know where I am.
That's nice, too.
They can always find me.
Yeah.
And the whole communication thing has changed now with Starlink. I have a very good friend whom I crossed the Atlantic with 3 times. And he is out now. He just arrived at the Canaries and they've got Starlink on board. We just sent some WhatsApp messages, which never worked before. And that changed everything. That means our last spot on the Earth is on the ocean where we had no digital connection. And that's over now, too. It's great on one hand and it's very sad on the other.
It is. To be honest, I've never been on a boat with Starlink.
Neither have I. And I think Starlink is only out for a couple of months, maybe, or not long.
Yeah. Well, for me, part of the magic of sailing is the disconnection with, you know, with the internet, with news, with commercials, with ad, with noise, all of these things that really can influence our thinking and our our brains. And for me, yeah, a lot of the magic of the sailing has been that you don't have any of that, right? So I think in terms of safety, it could be really great to have Starlink and you can more easily check the weather and communicate and anticipate. So that's great. But yeah, now you can also see people uploading videos from the middle of the Atlantic. And then you still don't take that pause to reflect and just be. And you may continue doing and creating and doing this and that. So yeah, I think Starlink, you know, can be great in many ways. But for me, I think the disconnection is just such a special and magical thing to experience because at sea, especially these ocean passages, you're disconnected for multiple weeks, not just days.
Yeah, right.
And that really makes you rethink. Yeah, reset a little bit.
Yeah, totally. It's a total reset. And do you have the same phenomena that when you reach the other side of the ocean, that you're afraid to open your phone?
Oh, yes.
Yeah, good.
I think most times I've waited even a couple of days, maybe except for letting mom know that I arrived. Yeah, the amount of notifications and messages you can receive then is horrendous. And at the end, like, what's really, really important, right? Usually within all these like thousands of messages, the world it just kept going.
Yeah, and we can't do anything about the important things.
So it is what it is. And it's overwhelming, that's for sure.
Right now, you're in your camper van in Spain, and you're not in Holland, obviously, and not at home. And you live, I would say, the life of a rover. And so do I, you know. And the thing is, I sometimes wish to be able to live, let's call it a normal life, but I can't. Do you sometimes have that thought too, that it would be nice to not have to move on?
Yeah, sometimes I have this thought. So yeah, I've been living rather nomadically for almost 2 decades now, of which the last 5 years, I have this camper van. It's my first car and also my first house. And it's my main base camp. I don't have any like back home or house or a place somewhere. And I do sometimes long for like, you know, a place, a base camp, a place where things just work, where the anchor cannot drag, where you can just charge your phone, where the internet sometimes just works, where you have a tap with water, like these little simple luxuries that are normal in a house. Because sometimes I find myself, you know, the day-to-day life in the van, but also when it comes to sailing, just sometimes looking for water or doing the laundry or where to go next. You know, you're ruled by the weather. Well, more with sailing than with the van. But with the van, also, you still live with the weather. Yeah, there's always a situation or something to figure out. And sometimes that can take up quite some time. Or like making a tea. First, you have to resource the water. You have to filter the water. Then you have to boil the kettle with a small gas stove. But on the other hand, it also just, it's a slow pace of life that's just very satisfying. And it's also an outdoorsy life. Like I spent most of my time I think I'm more outdoors than actually indoors.
That's the big difference.
It's very healthy. I step outside in the morning. I'm just barefoot. I ground immediately. I'm in most beautiful nature places. It just makes me feel alive. And sometimes I'm, you know, for a short period of time, visiting a friend or renting a little house or something. But then the walls just look at you and then then what you do. So yeah, a base camp could be nice. And I hope to find that someday as well. I'm still not sure where that would be. Mm-hmm. But still, I would just remain so curious to explore more.
Yeah, I'm looking for that place too. And I haven't found it. And I think it would probably be in a warm place, maybe an island near the ocean with a community that has the same mindset. Is that something that you're looking for too? Would you say a community is just too much of social life?
No, it's something I'm looking for too. And it's something I have been looking for. And it's something I've also started building over the years. So yeah, basically since the launch of my book Ocean Nomad in 2017, over the years, I started this community called Ocean Nomads to connect with people who are also living nomadic lifestyles in, on, or near the sea, or looking for this kind of lifestyle, and looking also for other people who have this adventure and sustainability mindset to, you know, make the most out of our days, exploring, adventuring, but also lending a hand, giving back. And it's hard to find those people, which I also learned while traveling on other people's sailing boats or now with the van. There's such a variety of people out there, right? And most of us who live this kind of life, we find ourselves in wild, remote places. So it's also rare to come across each other and to build communities like this.
Yeah.
So yeah, it's also something I'm longing for, that many more of us are longing for. So it's something I'm working on right now as well, to build that globally. And yeah, the idea, also part of the vision, is to have like different base camps in different places where you can just unite and connect and charge your batteries, so to speak, pick a fresh fruit and meet other people. And then we can continue going on with our boats or camper vans or tents on our back or whatever.
So Ocean Nomads is your idea. I didn't know that. Of course, I Googled it and I thought, wow, great. I didn't know about this. That's such a good idea. And is it working? Like, do you, through Ocean Nomads, do you meet people?
Yes, it's working.
So good.
Yeah, it kind of came forth out of my book, Ocean Nomad. Just put an S behind it, because alone we can only do so much, right? We have to come together. So yeah, we have this this member network. We're around 300 nomads in the network now, of which about 80 boat owners.
Wow.
And spread out all over the world. So it's still very small. But it is working, and people find out about each other through the network, through the app. They go sailing together or go for a hike or meet up or team up. And that's a very beautiful thing to see.
Yeah.
Yeah, with Ocean Nomads, we also organize sailing trips now and then, which are great, great moments to really unite a bunch of people all together. And those adventures are actually scheduled and with a date, so people can anticipate to it. So we just got back from Greece, where we united 34 ocean nomads from 15 different nationalities.
That is so awesome.
Yeah, it has been really, really cool, and many new connections being made. And I'm sure many of the people who met there will continue to meet each other or team up for different projects or sales, sprinkle more magic in the world.
Coming into your book now, can you give us some just little tips or hints of, if somebody wants to go out on the ocean, do something on the water, what's a very important, like three important points that they should think of before leaving?
Well, a huge part of this kind of adventure is the awareness and preparation part, because it all sounds very exciting. Let's go sailing, travel by sailboat, and it is. But you do want to know what you get yourself into. It's good to talk with people, read stories, read tips from other people who have done these kind of adventures. So that's one. And also preparation is so important, because the better prepared you are, the better you can anticipate to situations. And not only that, you can also do a great deal of giving back to the oceans and the places and people you're visiting. just by packing properly and preparing for that. Just a simple thing as like, you know, bringing your own water filter or like zero waste things, chemical-free shampoos and sunscreens and things like this. Because on the boat, especially then, it just all drains to the sea.
Yeah.
So yeah, that's one. Another tip I would say is to really take your time to find a right boat for you that feels good, that matches your values and the kind of adventure that you're looking for. There's crew opportunities all around. There's many out there, but it's really important that you feel good and happy and safe. So take your time, do research and listen to your intuition when not sure. So I think that that's a very important one.
Yeah, I just throw something in German in. So for everybody listening, if you are looking for a boat, there's a great site. It's called Hand gegen Koje. Also für alle, die mal über den Atlantik segeln wollen, da findet ihr immer irgendeinen Trip. Man muss ein bisschen suchen, aber das geht auf jeden Fall. Und auch auf der Yacht, yacht.de, findet ihr auch eine Mitsegelgelegenheit, die es echt bringt.
I think I wrote that website also in my book because, yeah, each country has different crew websites, right? And there's a ton of those out there. But yeah, also on the internet, it's easier to find a boat, but it's harder to figure out and find out if it's a right match. So if you find a boat on the internet, you definitely want to video call with the captain, get a good feel of the boat, of the situation, and then also assess properly before sailing out, especially when going on bigger adventures. You want to spend time with the captain and fellow crew beforehand to really, you know, get a feel for the boat, for each other, and the safety situation. I think in general, especially if you're new to sailing, don't just sail an ocean right away, like I more or less did. Start small, start with coastal sails or island hopping. Or if you're looking to sail the ocean, then let's say the Atlantic Ocean, instead of jumping on in the Canary Islands, see if you can find a boat from the mainland. So you can already have like a shorter offshore trip, and there's still opportunities to jump off as well if it isn't as expected. And also life at sea, it's such a special thing. It's not for everyone. So it's good to experience it on a smaller scale, smaller trips before you go on a big ocean crossing. Also, especially like if you really want to learn how to sail, an ocean crossing is not the best way. It will teach you a lot about life and seamanship and different sets of skills, which is very interesting. But actual sail handling, you may go days without changing the sails.
Weeks. If you have the trade winds crossing the Atlantic, you just sail without doing anything. Plus, you have an autopilot.
Yeah, there's a lot of adventure to be found also around the corner and in the places near you and the islands and the coasts. So that's also very exciting way to just start dipping your toes into it.
Yeah. You're talking a lot about the environment too. And you've been sailing for
pretty much a decade.
Yeah. Have you seen differences already in the ocean, with the ocean, with less fish, less life, more plastic? Have you also noticed that?
Yeah. And yeah, it is the sailing that also made me, well, much more aware about what's going on with the oceans. It makes you see things like seeing a plastic bottle floating in the middle of the ocean, or like fleets of fishing trawlers offshore. It makes you see things that otherwise you don't see. So yeah, it's the sailing that made me aware and also made me very driven to like write this book and create the Ocean Nomads community and connect people to the ocean, because it's through these kind of experiences that we really get triggered, I guess, to do something about it. And also the more we see, I don't see it getting any better. Like the more places also you visit on the beaches, the remote beaches where you cannot reach through a road, it's just like piles and piles of plastic. The underwater world in some places, I've had so many dives or free dives, you just don't see any fish, or you just see all these microplastics. It's bad.
That's really bad. Yeah,
it's bad. And it's something we really have to treasure, and all together do what we can, continue creating awareness and taking care of the ocean's health. And it also comes back to our health, right?
Absolutely. you sound so super energetic. And do you sometimes, because traveling on your own can be hard, and when you look at nature that's really collapsing at certain parts, do you sometimes have a downer too?
Yeah, I do. And whenever I do, I just go out in nature and I move and I go to the sea or I go surfing, and that just always does it, movement mm-hmm. and nature. But it is sometimes depressing, especially if you just see this, like, you know, horrible pollution and all this commerce going on as well, especially now in these holiday times. We just get bombarded with all sorts of advertisement, like buy more and this and that. Yeah. When does it stop, right? Why don't we just go out in nature? We don't need much more. So yeah, that's sometimes depressing to see. But also, I believe by keeping ourselves very healthy or mm-hmm. do our best as we can, we also continue having the energy to act upon it and, you know, write more, make more videos, write more books, get more people excited about going into nature and hopefully create some ripple effects that. But yeah, we all have good days and bad days. But that's why it's important to create a lifestyle most of your days, how you feel best.
Oh, Suzanne, you're so inspiring and your book is so good. And for everybody out there, get it. Salz auf der Haut. You have to get it. Not only if you want to go on the ocean, but just reading it and all the checklists you have in there. It's so much work, so much experience, so much wisdom in there. It's a beautiful book. And I thank you so much. And it's one little step out of many, of course, to make the world a better place. And thank you so much for this.
Oh, thank you so much. It was great to talk with you.
Das war von Meilen und Zeilen. Alle zwei Wochen neu, immer freitags. Wenn es euch gefallen hat, abonniert uns, liked uns, empfehlt uns. Oder schreibt uns an podcast@delius-klasing.de. Nur bei uns gibt's echte Abenteuer direkt ins Ohr.